The title of today's talk is Neutralizer. In duality, something must be able to neutralize duality to create unity or oneness and harmony. Love. Love is the most misunderstood concept because we underestimate its power and its purpose. It's the source of unity. It's the energetic frequency of connection to all of creation, which was created from love. Love is the essence of Creator and creation, which means words can be very useful and very deceptive. But the essence of something is what it is beyond the, let's say, gross manifestation of it. It's the essence. What does it have in radiation? The essence of something is its radiation, its frequencies. Fear can cause blindness and hallucinations of all manner of distortions. Fear. Something can be right in front of you, and if you're fear-ridden, you won't see it. You'll be examining what you're afraid of in your head, and you won't see something physical in front of you. You can be thinking tension thoughts, and you won't see someone crossing the road in front of you. You won't see a car beside you. You won't see where you're walking. Fear is a very deadly, and I mean deadly, emotion. Out of fear, we go to war. Out of fear, we fall off cliffs. Out of fear, we do all kinds of stupid things. Now, when we're old enough to hear that, if anybody's around us that's smart enough to tell us, the question is, really, what is at the base of fear? The base of fear is the sympathetic nervous system that is there to protect us, it, anything, against ceasing to exist, being hurt to the point of non-existence. So you might call it the hyper-vigilant vigilante. The vigilante doesn't need evidence. The vigilante acts on emotional belief, but not evidence. So fear is a vigilante. It's not really based on actual evidence of something being this or that or the other. It's too hard, it's too long, it's too hard, da 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 da. It's got a string of beliefs. It's a belief system that gets built up around the subconscious angst of hurt or disappearing or being killed or ceasing to exist. The ego will cease to exist, period. It's a fantasy creation. They don't like me. Really? What's the evidence? Well, I can tell. What's the evidence? They just adore me. That's the evidence. Okay. You see, we're in a setup, so to speak. And so the tension of fear, the tension of fear. Fear creates tension, and tension creates fear. It's a round robin feeding itself. It's a circuit of itself, which plays to the sympathetic nervous system, which is, I don't want to get hurt and I don't want to get cease to exist. It's going to cease to exist. The soul will go on, but the ego has a limited lifespan. The ego has a limited existence from get-go. And so here we are. We're victimized by the sympathetic nervous system from the get-go. From the moment we're born, through great stress, coming into life outside of the body requires a shock set. It's shocking to leave the womb where you didn't have to breathe. Your blood circulation and all of your food and all of your comfort zone was in the womb. You didn't have to do anything to protect yourself. You were being protected in the womb. So your sympathetic nervous system was kind of in a rest state as it evolved. But the moment the birth process started, tension, contraction, down this little tiny opening, pressed through, shocking to have to breathe. You have to sometimes be slapped into breathing. Think about that. It's like a setup. If God is the creator and he created us, then God is the author of the whole setup of the sympathetic nervous system to, quote, quote, protect the biological life of the body, the electrical systems of the body to keep things running. The problem is that the sympathetic nervous system is stronger than the parasympathetic nervous system, which is the relaxing, everything's okay system. And then the great mediator and the dominant nervous system of the vagus nerve. So, fear is caused by tension. Let me see now. Fear is caused by tension. Or fear causes tension. Fear can enhance tension. Tension can, over time, become chronic and so addictive that you can't let go. Even in a situation where there is nothing but positive environmental conditions, that doesn't mean you're not thinking crap. That doesn't mean you're not having an anxiety attack over the idea that next week you may have to take an examination. You can be in paradise. What is paradise? It's an illusion. Paradise is an illusion, and your ego wants to make sure paradise doesn't remain paradise in your imagination. Falling in love kind of seems like you overcome the anxiety. Well, let's put it this way. When you see all the movies where young people or people are just, quote, quote, thinking they're maybe attracted, what do you see all the time? Oh, it's bantering, teasing, you know, making it a joke to kind of hurt them to see their reaction. And it's like the chase. No, yes, yes, no, 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 yes, why? That is a testing period to see whether or not you can trust whatever is going on, or your attraction, or whatever. So, you know, they throw each other in the swimming pool, and they, you know, do all kinds of fun, nonsensical things. It's the push and pull, test, test, test. Well, the problem is that once you decide, or someone decides, that they can trust the other person, and they create an alliance called marriage, or, you know, togetherness, all you have to do is see Hallmark enough times, and you know there's always going to be, about 15 minutes before the end, a problem. Something that is makes you disillusioned in what's happening. Oh yeah. I mean, that is the theme of every Hallmark romantic story, isn't it? There's the push and the pull and the bantering and da-da-da, and then there's finally the concession, and then the belief, and then the disillusionment. Something to create disillusion. And so now we're mad and we're angry and we're separate and blah. Which turns out to be an illusion. And so once they discover it's an illusion, this disillusionment, we're back to togetherness. Yes, okay, here we go. So the important thing that we don't get is that our relationship to God and creation and soul are all under the, let's say, threat of tension, on guard. How can it be? Why would it be? Why would God love me? I don't see my soul. I don't feel my soul. I don't know where my, you know. Yeah. We have all these problems. What are the problems? Where do they come from? The problem always arises from the illusion and disillusion of the sympathetic nervous system setup, tension. Tension creates fear, and fear creates blindness and deafness and even common sense. We can't get beyond our tension. It's so ingrained pathologically, as Master Kripal used to say, we're nothing but a bundle of addictions. What are we addicted to? Fear. All of the chemistry of fear creates addiction in the body, and it is the king of our activity. We're tense enough to study for an exam, but in our tension to study for an exam, what's pushing that is the tension of failure. Failure, I'm going to fail. And in that, you either work harder or you give up, or you're blind to what you should be doing. You can't receive a message from your divine that you really should be on page 44 and you're just doing around in 34. Okay. If you were inspired, you'd be in 34. Inspiration really requires relaxation. The more relaxed you are, the more inspired you become. It's like the story I always talk about, you know, a scientist trying to invent something and he's working on formulas and ideas and blah, 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 blah. He's so tired, puts his head down on the desk, maybe the computer board, and bingo, bango, bongo, he sits up and he's got the solution. He's got an inspiration. It came like a bolt out of the blue, like a light going off in his head. Ah. So his anxiety level had to be shut down, neutralized. He had to get tired enough to shut off the prattle in his brain, in his nervous system. And when he went down to alpha wave, bingo, there was an insight. A light went off with information. Why doesn't that register to us? We've heard it 1,000 times. We've experienced it. Oh, you know, what was the name of that actor? Oh, what was the name of that actor? I can't remember the name of the actor. You're having a conversation with a friend. You go out to the kitchen, and you stand there, and you're doing the dishes, and you kind of buzz out because your brain got tired looking through the Rolodex of memory. John Wayne just pops in your mind. Just pops in your mind. Oh my God. And it comes out your mouth. Pops in your mind and comes out your mouth. John Wayne. Okay. There we are. Suddenly. Suddenly out of what? Where did it come from? Ah, another energy field opened the Rolodex and popped out the information. So, why don't we get it that relaxation can be a better tool for really learning than tension? Because from the beginning, we were taught to be tense to learn. You have to pay attention. Pay attention. I had a teacher that used to walk through the aisles of the room when he wanted something going on, and he had this yardstick. And if you weren't paying attention, you got hit with the yardstick. Sometimes it broke the yardstick. It wasn't quite what you might call the optimum teacher, but You see, school was always a discipline. You got disciplined if you weren't disciplined in learning. You weren't sitting by the fire at night reading your book in the log cabin like Abraham Lincoln or whatever. And what is war? War is just nothing but blown up delusion and illusion and self-defense and aggression. It's hyper-energized delusion, your value or your lack of value. I'm valuable if I can kill you or I can subdue you, you know. Or I'll lose, and then what will happen to me? There's tension either way. Everything is based on tension. And tension is fear, and it is the source of our illusion and delusion. We can't see and we can't receive properly because we're on the wrong frequency. We haven't put our head on the desk and gone to sleep, so to speak. We haven't relaxed enough to be open to the softer frequencies of soul or spirit. So the idea that religion is linking back, or yoga, yoking back, to from what to what? See, people don't even think of the word religion. They call it religion, but they don't know what they're talking about. They have no idea that it means linking back, relinking. You're just getting going and listening to somebody give talks. That's relinking? Oh, okay. So, it's a challenge to get past the inevitable. Tension is fear. Tension is fear. That's why the masters keep harping on joy, open-heartedness, open-mindedness, relaxation, laughter, humor, because they are the releasers of chemistry that releases you from fear, from the tension of fear, which is the idea that you're vulnerable to delusion and illusion, but you're not available to subtlety. Gross, and I mean gross by the word, what seems obvious to the five senses. But we have to train the five senses to become more, let's say, discriminating. Can you hear the plants? Can you hear the animal? Can you see the God light in someone? The closest thing that we often get to is either the masters, saints, whatever, and newborn babies. The newborn babies have still that radiation when they're asleep. When they're asleep and they're not being prodded to learn something like Baba, me, you know, and creating exaggerated facial expressions to make them want to mirror you. We learn by mirroring. Children, you know, they stand. You know, they look so funny when there's a two-year-old who puts his hand on his hip and, you know, looks disgusted. Give me a break. It's mirroring. We learn by mirroring. And why are people in style or out of style? Oh, could it be we're copycats? What are copycats? Following the mirror. Mirroring is a major process of learning. So when you see an expression on a face, what happens is you go through your Rolodex and say, is that, let's say, happy or unhappy? you know, inviting or rejecting. I looked at him and his eyes were, you know, all you have to do is hear a discussion or read a novel, or that somebody was looking at somebody's reaction to a statement, and what you find out is that they are evaluating what they have been mirrored means this or that. There's somebody that's, quote, quote, a master of that. It's called acting. Going to be in the White House. And is all you have to do is look at the history of it. You can see that people are responding to this acting modality. A good actor. A good actor is a good manipulator. Well, you act all day long. When you see somebody on the street or you're in the store or whatever, you're acting. Your response is acting. You pick up the telephone, you're not in a great mood, but you go, hello, you know. You have the telephone voice. Hello, cheerful. You don't feel cheerful, but you talk into the phone like you're cheerful. You never notice, watch people who are on the phone and they've got all these facial expressions and nobody's watching them. There's nobody that they're talking to that can be watching them because they're not on FaceTime at the moment. But they have all these expressions that are conditioned to how they should look while they're talking to somebody, if they were physically talking to them. So, here we are, very strange. And what the whole path of the master is about is understanding that you're a product in collective, in this lifetime, of conditioning through tension, that you're addicted to tension. You produce it in yourself when nobody else is there to produce it, because they've already planted the seeds of you're going to fail, or you're going to win, or it's going to be hard, or it's going to be one way or the other. You are tense by your own now repetition of how you were trained. What you want, why do you want it? If you see all the stuff that's put on the front of your iPhone, all the advertising, oh, 45 new things on sale at Amazon. Quick, quick. Everybody's buying them. Everybody's buying them. This is called suggestion. Everybody's buying them. Everybody does it, mother. Everybody is mean and rotten and dirty during war. Where's the nobility? No, that's not part of the training. How tough can you be? So we're conditioned, and we don't know why we're so tense all the time. And we don't even realize the levels of our tension, because as I have before, I could take you through 10 different relaxing exercises, and each time you drop down and be more relaxed and more relaxed and more relaxed. You go to bed and you go, ah. And 2 minutes later you say, I'm not really that comfortable. And then you squirm around and you get relaxed. Then 2 minutes later, I don't know, the sheets are kind of wrinkled in my back. And you keep going down to relaxation. Tension is cumulative. Listen to that carefully. Tension is cumulative. When I went to New York and lived for several years, at first I thought everybody was nuts. They were always tense and hurrying, and their faces were, you know, no smiles, no hellos. They were all, you know, containerized in themselves, and you had doormen that would, you know, scrutinize whether or not you were worthy of going in the building, and you know. And so you were always, you know, listening to tension-provoking things, like the garbage cans rolling down the alley behind your room, going bang, bang, bang down the stairs to the basement where they belong, and your window's over the alley, and you hear it happening. Then you hear the sirens all night long going, maybe not to your building, but down your street, around the corner, close enough to be heard. And then you hear yelling and screaming in the halls because everybody fights out in public, because why would they fight in their own house, in their own apartment, right? I mean, it's just one thing after another, and this community, don't go into that community, it's not safe. And these people aren't safe, and these people are safer. So as you're around that amount of people in those kinds of tight crackerbox buildings on top of each other, 100 stories, give me a break. The elevator, oh, you got stuck in the elevator again, huh? Yeah, well, you know, what if a fire comes along? Oh, you know, we got to get out of here. And so it's just endless when you're in a big city that you're going to hear all kinds of noises that are alerting. And so the set point of your awareness gets ratcheted up. You're more aware. And you try to neutralize your reaction to it, but it's just enough irritation that it becomes a permanent marker. Your set point is closer to the surface. Your reaction, your alertness is closer to the surface. Well, if it's closer to the surface, it means it's in ready position faster. It's in ready position faster. When I moved out of New York and I went to California and the beaches, and it was like every few weeks, I would literally feel an unsnapping in my nervous system. More relaxed as a set point. More relaxed as a set point. more relaxed. And it happened over, you know, a year's time that you relaxed more. And then again, a set point got loosened, and you could literally feel the transition. When they did the test, and I've told this before, but it bears telling again, they did a test where they took people from the country, who lived in the country, and people who lived in small towns, and people who lived in Manhattan, and they found their basic set point of tension. And then they subjected them to clanging and banging, like cab doors shutting and, you know, garbage cans being banged around and horns honking and sirens. And they watched their energy go up, their tension levels mount. And then they wanted to measure how long it took them to return back to base point. Took a few days for country folk to return to base point. Took small town people or town people, average town people, several weeks. For New Yorkers, they could never find the set point again. They couldn't measure long enough to get to the set point that they started out with. It was cumulative. Tension is cumulative. And so are reactions and delusions along with it. So undoing that is the essential part of the path. So why is there such stress on joy, relaxation, love, quietude, humor? It's to undo the set point that you run on, so that you can get closer and closer and closer to receptivity to the bolt out of the blue. They dawned on me. It came to me like a flash, like light going on. All light data words. Now that sounds somehow unspiritual. That just sounds biological, neurological. What's reconnecting? What's religier? What's yoga? Surachabda yoga. It's getting to a place where you can connect to the frequency of soul. Easier, faster. And there's a reason, because the minute you leave that, you enter into the world of delusion. You enter into, you're in your body, and they're over there. I'm Chinese, and you're Aryan. Ah. You're black, and you're whatever. Latin. Oh, really? You see? There's distinction because you're evaluating difference. You're up on guard. You're guarding yourself so you can be delusional. You want to be delusional because that's how you were raised, to be delusional, to fit into the delusion of your society, your family, your country. Oh, yes. To be an American, to be Mexican, to be Guatemalan, to be Spanish, to be French, ooh la la, you know? I was in a taxi one time in Paris, and so I was having difficulty with the name of the place I wanted to be taken by the taxi driver. And I finally got close enough that he guessed what I was trying to say. So when we got there, I paid him and I gave him a tip. And he threw the tip back at me. Like, you dumb piece of junk. How dare you tip me? There you go. You see? Ooh la la. So, what's going on in the Middle East? Well, love at its height, right? We were watching a program last night on National Geographic, and they were doing archaeological digs. And it's like the Israelis and the Arabs have been fighting for thousands of years. Thousands. Thousands of years. And it's not just them. I mean, you know, when the Israelis, the Jews, went to different places to relocate when they were getting accosted in the Middle East, and they went to Spain and France, and then pretty soon they were accosted there, and, you know, went on and on and on and on. So here we are. We can find all kinds of reasons to be separate. And most religions, quote, quote, religiere, reconnecting, are about love and acceptance. I preach the religion of rejection. That sounds absolutely stupid, doesn't it? Love is my religion, da 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 da, that song. And yet if you get into most of the, let's say, religious doctrine, it's about love and acceptance, openness, inclusion. Except when it comes to people we don't like. When it comes to people who say the same thing in a different language. How do we know what they're saying? They're scary. So, tension and fear are delusions, delusionary creators. They are the thing that creates our separation from each other, from the rest of creation, and we only accept a small group in our inclusionary everybody's a little queer, but thee and me, and thee is a little bit. Okay. Well, religion should be about neutralizing. Neutralizing the energy of separation. How can we have unity if diversity is so extreme? Okay, so the path of the masters is about understanding what's causing your separation from the spirit. Understand what's causing it. And people don't believe what they're saying. Tension. Tension is causing it. And if you don't learn how to relax and open your heart and open your mind and open your energy fields, hello, you remain the victim of delusion, of separation. You're in one creator. You're in one creation. You out of creation? Give me a break. Are you out of creation? No, you're in the one creation. And the one creator is in all of creation. All of creation. All of creation, yep. So, what's our problem with separation? Addiction to tension. Okie dokie lokie. This is our friend Thomas Aquinas. Well, he should be a friend. Every creature has a religion. Excuse me. Every foot is a shrine where a sacred candle burns. Every cell in us worships God. May I repeat that? Every cell in us worships God. Every particle, every subatomic particle worships God. Every arrow in the bow of desire has rushed out in hope of nearing him. The purpose of our delusion appears to be that we want to be accepted. But accepted by what? Our higher self, our God self, God. That's what we want to accept. We want to be accepted, but we think it's out there and it's in here. It's in us. We want to be accepting ourselves, and therefore we do what we do so we can accept ourselves. God sees nothing in us that he has not given. Everything is empty until he places what he wishes into it. The soul is like an uninhabited world that comes to life only when God lays his head against us. The delight a child can know tossing a ball into the air, my Lord confessed he experiences whenever he looks at you. God sees nothing in us that he has not given. More significant than any act is the power, the impetus behind it. An ocean fish may gather enough momentum to leap into the air and may even fall into a boat and bite someone. But tracing the act to its source reveals the ocean as the cause. Our thoughts leap out of God. Creation took flight from his bow. Behind every act is the Beloved. He is the cause. The child blames others for their woes. No one can change the course of his arrows. That does not mean that one should not become adept at ducking. Well, the saints say the same thing. Tension creates separation. It creates delusion and separation. It creates an artificial reality. So tension, releasing yourself from tension, would seem, if you're listening, to be the priority effort. Get over tension. Get over it. If you don't get over it, you will remain waltzing around in it, which is a delusionary world that you live in. Maybe you get a peep every once in a while if you relax and you're overcome, or, you know, on the road to Damascus, your hate is so severe you become numb, and then suddenly, like a bolt out of the blue, the light appears. Now, you can work hard at being separate, and we do. For some reason, God thinks it's an exercise we need to go through, or that he needs to go through us. Do you want to remain separate? Or is religiere going to mean something? Linking back. Yoga. Sura Chab Yoga. Connecting back. Separate back to the source, to the Creator. That's the ABC of life. That's what we're here to do. We've gone through lifetime after lifetime after lifetime of experiencing separation. When do you want to end it? You were hearing it, you've heard it, you're hearing it, you've heard it, you're hearing it, you've heard it. When will it become the most important motivation of your existence to connect back through relaxation, joy, open-heartedness, open-mindedness, relaxing. Relaxing, relaxing. Be still. Still does not entail tension. In my dictionary, maybe your dictionary has a different. Still is still. When you're relaxed, you're open. Your shoulders drop from your ears. You should wear your shoulders as earrings. You know, they're up high enough. And that squeezed tension look in your face, so graceful. I worry about my kids. Oh, isn't that wonderful? You're so wonderful, you worry about your kids. Must be a good mother. Must be a good dad. I worry about my grades. I worry about my future. Yep. I'm helping my future by worrying. And that's the belief that worry is a good thing that will motivate you. It's the good thing until we know it's the killer. Hurry and worry kill the man. Hurry and worry creates stress, which is today's recognized killer of humanity. So, when does it get more important to be joyful, relaxed, open-hearted, open-minded? Be still. When does it become more important than any other thing in your life? It's the door. It's the frequency that opens the door to receptivity, to connecting back to your soul, and therefore, God. God power. Okay.